My sisters and brothers, in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ, good morning and welcome to our service of worship here on this wonderful third Sunday of Advent. We are very glad that you are with us today, whether you are here in person, thank you, whether you are watching live on Zoom, hi guys, or whether you catch us several days from now. We're exceedingly glad that you have joined us for this time of worship together. I hope that you have been using the time before worship to notice the announcements that were flashed on screen, many of which are also in your bulletin. And I hope you have used the time to fill out the friendship pads in your pew. If you've not, please notice that there's a little sheet in there for any updates that you need to do. The office is constantly trying to keep track of people. So if you have a vague idea that you may have moved since or changed your phone number or whatever since the last time you gave the office any sort of information, please go ahead and fill that in. I mean, doing it an extra time is better than doing it too little. That's for sure. Please note that Growing Connections today will be in the parlor. I hope you are able to stay and enjoy that. And we had a question came up this week. You know, next to the hymns, you've got the hymn number, and then you either generally see either PH or GTG. GTG is Glory to God. That is the latest iteration of the Presbyterian hymnal. You can get it in maroon or black. I have one. This is my personal copy. The church has one, but the church also has the electronic rights. So that's when you see, you know, GTG and you see the page number and then the music and the words on the screen. That's where that comes from. Now, before Glory to God, which is about 10 years old, before Glory to God was the other one, and that's in your pew, and that is the Presbyterian hymnal. Okay, that's the one most people are most familiar with. Just for your information, before the Presbyterian hymnal, there was the Presbyterian worship book. And what was interesting about the worship book was all the hymns were in alphabetical order, which was great if you needed to find a hymn in a hurry, but was horrible if you were looking for subject matter. Now, before the Presbyterian worship book was the red Presbyterian hymnal, which is about half the size of the blue Presbyterian hymnals that you have. And before that, the original hymnal, God is Above Us All, was the black covered Presbyterian hymnal. So, who has one of those really old red Presbyterian hymnals? Katie, do you have the black one also? Okay, got to look for that. It's kind of cool to go and look and see songs that are popular at different times, and then they fade, and then they come back. The old black hymnal came out about the time of the First World War. And there was a lot of sort of nationalism and volunteerism in that hymnal. That was really very interesting. I want to thank everybody who came to the funeral here for Pedro's father yesterday. I was really pleased to see so many from our congregation, and my tremendous thanks to everyone who had anything to do with gathering or crowd control or cutting up donuts or cleaning up or serving coffee, whatever it is you did, thank you very much. I think this is the sort of ecumenical friendship and fellowship that non-Christians are looking to see. And I'm glad we could model that. And I want to say thank you to the Arellano family for these lovely flowers that were left here also. You're welcome, brother. Thank you. We have two announcements, Sue Baker and Nancy Hilbert. But before that, yesterday when I was here, I was wearing my favorite black mask. It's not like the black masks that are out here in the narthex. It's pure cloth. It has a metal piece in the nose. I've had it for 2 years, and somehow or other, it is between here and home or something, I have misplaced it. So if you see a cloth black mask flying around, it's just one sheet of cloth, I would really appreciate you letting me know. Have I missed any announcements? Have I missed anything? Okay, then Sue and then Nancy. Please, ladies.
It won't go down far enough. Too short. But good morning. Each year after we finish collecting gifts for the angel tree, we ask for donations of hats and mittens. This year, we would like to ask for not only hats and mittens and gloves, but socks. The donations of what we give will be given out at the Loaves and Fishes meal that is going to be held on Monday, January 30th. You can bring the hats and mittens and socks and put them on the tree that is already out in the narthex. And then we will collect those and get them to the Church of Peace when we have our Loaves and Fishes get together. I just wanted to let you know that last month at the Loaves and Fishes that we participated in, we also had hats and mittens that people had purchased, and then also members of our congregation had knitted or crocheted, and those were a huge success. They are greatly needed and greatly appreciated. So a big thank you for those of you who supplied that. And then I also wanted to just, as a reminder with the angel tree, when you're dropping off your gifts, if you can remember, because the tags aren't supplied to you, if you can remember to write down the family and the child's number, then when we distribute those, everything goes a lot smoothly or a lot smoother. So thank you very much for all your support.
Good morning from the loving team. As we were meeting last Thursday, we came up with a really good idea that we hope you'll participate in: a cookie luck. Instead of a potluck, a cookie luck between services on Christmas Eve, so we can greet our family and friends who are attending church that. So if you each would bring a plate of cookies to pass, we'd greatly appreciate it, and just put it in the fellowship hall, and we'll all enjoy it then Christmas Eve between the services.
Thank you, Nancy. Friends, let us now prepare our hearts and minds to worship God.
Where we often seek personal happiness, Advent beckons us to a deeper expression of our faith in Christ.
For the Lord our God is.
Advent beckons us to remember God's unconditional love, even when we stumble.
Advent beckons us to remember God's invitation to the human heart to be still in the face of strife.
Advent beckons us to remember we always have hope, even when it seems as if our world is caving in around us.
The joy of the Lord is our strength.
Light three candles to watch for Messiah. Let the light banish darkness. Lift your heads and lift high the gateway, for the King of Glory.
Help us to trust you, Lord. We cannot comprehend this thing that is about to happen, this baby who will be our Savior. We have learned well how you can be custodians of law, guardians of culture, and champions of religion. We do not know how or if we can be disciples of such a one as this. Prepare us for the bearer of the gospel, O God, lest we receive the good news as bad news and turn our backs. Amen.
Blessed be the God of Israel, who comes to set us free, who visits and redeems us, who grants us liberty. The prophet spoke of mercy, of freedom and release. God shall fulfill that promise and bring the people peace. God, from the house of David, a child of grace has given. A Savior comes among us to raise us up from Him. Before Him goes the herald, for our unearned way, the prophet of salvation, the harbinger of day. On us who sit in darkness, the sun begins to rise. The dawn of forgiveness upon the sinner's eyes. God guides the feet of pilgrims upon the paths of peace. Oh, bless our God and Savior with songs that never cease.
The life of faith is not only about being faithful to God. It is knowing that God is faithful to us, trusting that God will never turn away from us. Let us tell God the truth about our lives. Magnificent God, we like seeing the wilderness bursting into bloom and the hungry being filled with good things. But we are not so sure about the powerful being brought down or the rich being sent away empty. We know that sometimes we are powerful, sometimes we are rich, sometimes we are the ones with privilege, ignoring and harming those you want to lift up. Magnificent God, forgive us, humble us, and refocus us, that we may follow your way of life and truth.
My beloved, there is nothing and no one that is too far gone for God to redeem. There is no land too parched that God cannot make streams of living water flow. Beloved, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. And now that we are at peace with God, let us share that peace with one another. The peace of Christ be with you. Will you please share God's peace with those around you? Now is a good time to send an email or a text or an emoji to a friend who can't be with us today. Peace of Christ.
Glory to God, glory to God, glory in the highest. Glory to God, glory to God, alleluia, alleluia. Gloria, gloria, in excelsis Deo.
This is a gospel lesson from the Gospel of Luke, the first chapter, verses 46b to 55. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked down with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever."
I believe that this is the first time I have ever preached from two gospel lessons. Normally it's a gospel and an Old Testament lesson or gospel and epistle. I don't know why I've never done it, other than you got to be careful with the gospels because they're all coming from their own point of view. You know, if you're describing a mountain, where you stand determines what you see. And so it is for the gospel writers. We just heard Mary's magnificent Magnificat. My soul magnifies the Lord. You may have noticed Mary speaking in the past tense, all these things that God has done. This is typical, we find, especially in Old Testament prophets, where they talk about what God will do, but describe it in the past tense as if God has already done it, because they are so certain that this is what God will do that they speak of it as if it has already happened. And that's the voice that Mary is using here. She's talking about what God will do, but again, she is so certain that it will happen, she speaks as if it already has. Now, though, we turn to Matthew chapter 11, and we pick up John the Baptist has been put in jail, or he has annoyed the local ruler. And he hears what Jesus is doing. And so he sends some messengers to to Jesus. And this is what we read. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." My friends, this is the word of the Lord for us this day. Thanks be to God. And now I would like to invite the youngest of our disciples to come down and hear a word from Miss Jennifer, please.
Can you hear me now? That's better. All right. Well, these pretty plants are here for someone who we celebrated yesterday for all the awesome things he did in his life. Well, that sounds great. We got to see these beautiful flowers, and we got to see some pictures of the man who we celebrated yesterday. That is like a birdie. Sometimes people say when you see this birdie, it's their loved one that's coming to visit. That's a cardinal. So can you see those pictures up there, or if you can see them back there? Do you see them? Yeah. Those are all people who are doing some really cool things. Today in the scripture, Miss Cheryl read to us and talked about Mary. She was singing a song. Sometimes people say a poem or a song, and she was singing that song, and it had some opposite stuff. Do you know what it means to be the opposite? So if I say hot, what is the opposite? Cold. Cold's the opposite. And if I say tired. Tired? Old. Awake? Yep, awake. So what was happening in the world, what Mary was talking about is she was praising God. She was saying, you know, God does such wonderful things. God is going to do such wonderful things. She knew that when Jesus was born, he was going to grow up and he was going to help people to learn about the wonderful things to do. And those wonderful things were the opposite. So when we saw somebody that was hungry, you know what we do? We'd feed them, make sure they get fed. And somebody who was sick, we'd make sure they would be healed. And somebody who was weak or tired, we'd give them strength. You're healing too. Every day we do those things, don't we? So Mary was very excited about what was going to happen, and she was singing that song. No, I don't think like a chicken, but she was singing. She was singing. And she was singing those things, but what we need to remember is God needs all of us to be a part of that. So in my pictures today, I have some pictures of people doing those things. So let's take a peek. I see someone who's raking. Can you see? Yeah, I see someone who's, Fiona, do you know that person raking leaves? Yeah, you do. And I see Pastor Ken right there. He's helping build beds for boys and girls that don't have a bed to sleep in. And I see Henry down in the corner. He's doing that too. He's building beds. Yeah. And I see the kids in the bottom there. You know what they're doing? They are sorting school supplies for boys. Can you see up there in that picture up there? Oh, yeah. So those boys and girls on the bottom, they are helping sort school supplies for boys and girls who don't have school supplies. And up in the top, that's my friend Sam. And he is helping to make food for boys and girls all over the world who need something to eat. Like you need to eat too.
I need lots of
You need vegetables. Yes, you do. And vegetables are in the thing that he's making. You're right. That's how we learn. That's how we heal and grow, is when we eat our vegetables, right? So Mary is super excited about, but that super excitedness is work for us to do. But that's pretty fun work to do. Do you see all those people on those pictures? They're all smiling, aren't they? Because when we do God's work, we smile too. I like jumping in leaves too. All right, let's say a prayer and let's thank God for the awesome, great opportunities we have every day to do good work. Are you ready? All right. Loving and gracious God, we thank you so much for all of the things that you give us each and every day. We thank you for the love that you give us each and every day. And we thank you for all of the opportunities you give us to share your love with others. We ask that you would help us to open up our hearts to see the need in the world and the way that we can help. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, and all God's children said, amen.
As we've said, as I hope you noticed, today is the third Sunday of Advent. If you've been following along with us these last two Sundays, you may be asking, when are we going to get to baby Jesus? Now, when are we going to get to the manger and shepherds and wise men? Well, hang in there. They're coming. We'll get there. But first, we need to learn something about Jesus and why Jesus matters. We have to know why we're making such a big deal about someone being born some 2,000 years ago. On the first Sunday of Advent, we learned Jesus is not a one and done. Jesus will come again. Because of Jesus, then, our faith is forward-looking. Our faith is built on the past, certainly, and the past is important, but our faith also has a forward orientation. We are constantly looking to the future. Jesus' birth matters, but it's not the end of the story. On the second Sunday of Advent, we learned about God's peaceable, fruitful kingdom. We learned if we want to live in God's kingdom on earth today, We need to live those fruits of the Spirit we talked about. And we need to get on with it. It's urgent. The axe is lying at the root of the tree. It's time to bear good fruit. Today, we learn more about the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. We learn more about how God wants us to live. Jesus shares what we need to do if we want to live in the peaceable, fruitful kingdom now. In our Matthew text that I read for us, Jesus lays out who God cares about. In the kingdom of heaven, the mean and the cruel are not celebrated. The powerful are not worshiped. In the kingdom of heaven, beautiful people do not get to go first. The rich are not given hints on how to cheat on their taxes. That is not God's concern. We read, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the poor have good news brought to them." Jesus tells us God's concern is for the blind, the lame, the deaf, the poor. God's concern, in other words, is for people who are suffering, in pain, powerless. God's concern is for those who do not have the wherewithal to help themselves. Now understand, okay, I'm not disparaging anyone. All of us middle-class folks, we need Jesus too, okay? We need Jesus too. God loves us, and that is for sure and for certain. But in the kingdom of God, both in heaven and on earth, there is a special concern for the powerless, the suffering, those in pain, those who do not have the wherewithal to help themselves. Okay, we can go along with that. Nothing too upsetting. But what about verse 6? "And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." This word offense, actually, it's in the noun form, it's the scandalon. It's the scandal. And it's where we get our word scandal. But in this instance, it means a stumbling block, something that would cause you to stumble. So blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble over my words. But who would be offended? Huh? Who would stumble over Jesus giving sight to the blind and bringing good news to the poor? Who would be scandalized by that? Well, have you ever heard anyone say, or maybe you've said it yourself, "If those people would stop having so many children, if you had taken care of your body instead of abusing it, if you had stuck with the job instead of quitting, if they had only studied harder in school, I pulled myself up by my bootstraps. What's wrong with them? If they would break their addictions," you know, like quitting cold turkey is easy. "And if those people would just learn to speak English." By the way, if you've never tried to learn a foreign language as an adult, trust me, it's harder than it looks. Have you ever heard anyone talk that way? Did they sound like they might be offended by what Jesus is saying? Uh-oh. Anyone who berates the foreigner, the refugee, the stranger, anyone who looks down on the impoverished, anyone who makes light of the suffering, anyone who doesn't help the powerless help themselves, is working against Jesus, is working against the kingdom of God. Again, do we know anyone like that? Have we had any of those thoughts? Jesus is coming. He's bringing to full fruition God's peaceable kingdom. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Are we for it or against it? Whose side are we on? The people Jesus is helping? Are we helping Jesus? Our Luke passage that you heard read is Mary's Magnificat. My soul magnifies, Magnificat, my soul magnifies the Lord. Elizabeth, who is some kind of kinswoman, you know, maybe she's a cousin, maybe she's a stepsister, maybe she's third aunt once removed, we don't know. But Elizabeth is some sort of kinswoman to Mary. Elizabeth has just told Mary, not only is Mary pregnant, but the baby will be the longed-for Messiah. And Mary breaks out in this joyful hymn, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him." We would translate that as those who have powerful respect for him. "His mercy is for those who fall down in awe and wonder towards him from generation to generation." This sounds great, doesn't it? Mary feels good. God has done something wonderful. What is Mary going to say next? Is she going to start gushing about onesies? And the glow of pregnancy and the miracle of new life? No. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. Mary says God has scattered the proud, the arrogant, those who don't help the poor, those who neglect the suffering. God has taken down the high and mighty. God has not just taken down the powerful. God has not simply raised up the poor. God has done both at once. God has reversed the social structure. It's like a pineapple upside down cake. God has flipped society on its head. Think about that. It's like a pineapple upside down cake. What should be top is bottom. What should be bottom is top. God has turned things around. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. God has taken a special interest in the powerless. God has taken a special interest in those choosing between the light bill, medicine, and food. Those who don't know what supper will be tonight until they get to loaves and fishes. Those who don't know what they'll be eating next week until they've been to broken bread. And will it last the week? But the rich, those who know where their next meal is coming from, those who have more than 2 days of food in their kitchen, who can afford rent and meds and heat and transportation and food, they will go hungry. Again, all of us here today, everyone within the sound of my voice, we who are occupying positions of power, we who don't worry about having enough to eat, we don't have to live in our car. We don't need to live on a steady diet of ramen noodles. But are we on their side? All those people living in their car or subsisting on ramen noodles, are we caring for them? Are we doing all we can to make their lives better? Again, I'm not trying to give anyone a guilt trip. We don't need to feel bad, right? All of us middle-class people, God loves us. Jesus died for us. That's one reason we celebrate his birth. Jesus died for you and me. That's a wonderful reason to celebrate his birthday. But Jesus is also very clear. God has a special place for the poor, the suffering, the powerless, and hurting. And if we are going to follow Jesus, if we are not going to take offense at him, stumble over him, be scandalized by what he's advocating, we need to pick a side. We can't abstain. We cannot sit on the fence. By God's power, the social structure is going to flip. The world is going to turn. And we can't sit on the sidelines. We are either ministering to the poor and powerless, the suffering, the hurting, the hungry, or we are against them. That's all the choice we have. We are either for Jesus and what he is doing, or we are against him. Today, it's the third Sunday of Advent. What have we learned about Jesus and the kingdom of heaven? We've learned we're either on board and taking an active part in Jesus' ministry, or we're against it. Those are our only choices. We can't sit on the fence. We have to pick a side. By God's grace, may we choose well. Amen. Our gracious and holy God, we praise you for this third Sunday of Advent. We praise you for the love that you have shown to us in Jesus Christ, our Lord. We praise you for all the good things that we have and the joy that is in our hearts, for family, for friends, for meaningful work, for pets, for more than enough food, for reliable transportation, for maybe even affordable medical care. We thank you from the humbleness of our hearts. And Lord, we also lift up those who are not so fortunate as we. Those who are stumbling through life blind to your goodness. Those who are deaf to your love. Those who are dead in their sins and do not realize that those sins are forgiven. We pray today for our world, especially those parts of our world that are in conflict. We pray today for our nation, that we may genuinely be one nation under God. We pray for those we have loved and lost. We pray for those whose cares and concerns we know. We ask your blessings on Pedro and Christina and all their family. We pray for Arnold, Pauline, and Jesse. And we ask that Brian, Gary, Pat, and Gib will know your joyful presence. We ask your holy goodness to envelop the family of Ninad Malik. And we ask your blessings on Jolene's sister and her husband, that you will be a force for good and wholeness in their lives. We pray that Chastity and Joan, that Jerry and Mary, that Liam and Silas will all know what it is to be loved inside and out, fully and completely, even as Jesus loved us inside and out, fully and completely, when he taught us to live by praying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." My friends, as God has blessed us richly, let us bless the powerless, the poor, the blind, the lame, by being generous as well. God, we take these gifts that you have given us, and now we do indeed consecrate them to your service, that they will go far from this place, and that they will bring good news to the poor, sight to to the blind, healing to the lame, and that they will make a difference in the lives of all your children. We ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
My soul cries out with a joyful shout, and the blood of my heart is great, and my spirit sings of the wondrous things that you bring to the one who waits. You fixed your sight on your servant's heart, and the weakness you did not spurn. So from east to west shall my name be
Jesus is coming, and we have to pick a side. Who are we going to be for? On whose behalf are we going to struggle? My friends, take the burning fire of God's justice into the world and let it burn until the entire social structure has collapsed and has been remade in the love and joy and peace of Christ our Lord. And as you do so, my friends, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord God this day and always grant you God's own peace. And so let all God's people say, Alleluia, Amen. Thank you.
That'd be awesome.